There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den. I'm Joni Wolfswinkel.
And I'm Sean Wolfswinkel.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome.
I wanted to mention, and this is totally random, and maybe people...
I love random things.
These cushions are so much better,
gosh,
right?
Yes. I don't know how many times my leg fell asleep on this bench.
So but just to give you the background, you guys don't know, but as we bought these like cool looking, it's a, what is it called?
I don't know.
Anyways, I have a cool table and chairs and all that. And barrels, wine barrels. And it was like a great idea. But, oh, man, like after 20 minutes of sitting on these chairs, our legs were going totally numb and our butts were hurting. And anyways, so we're a lot more comfortable. So yes. Hopefully you get better content now that we feel more.
Oh.
We're at cushy bottoms.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
So anyway, back to the topic. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I mean, it's been actually a busy, busy month for us. Yeah. We've had, this whole month, we've had a ton of awesome guests. So if our listeners haven't listened in, I encourage you to go back. We've had some mortgage brokers. We've had coaches.
Multifamily.
That's coming up, I think, next week. And just a ton of awesome individuals and business owners and more to come in February. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
But today you have Sean and I, which is pretty awesome. and we're going to be talking about healthy conflicts and building trust in your organization, which is important. We'll get a lot into, we just came back from our leadership retreat in Florida. So we'll talk about that. But I get that all the time, individuals ask me, like, how do you have such an amazing team and culture? Mm-hmm. And the truth is because we focus our time and energy into creating a great team, right?
Teamwork.
Yeah. Teamwork. Absolutely. And so, I mean, one question I have for you is, like, why do so many organizations and leaders, you know, they focus more on the marketing, the technology, the strategy, you know, when they have their leadership retreats, but they don't really focus on the teamwork aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you asking me that question?
Yeah.
I mean, well, something that I was having this conversation with somebody recently, but as I continue to get older and wiser, and we're both
wiser, yeah, wiser.
So we're both gonna be celebrating our 40th.
Ooh, don't date me right now.
But no, as I get wiser. The team, what I'm finding out is, like, yes, you need the great marketing ideas and you need, certain processes and procedures and finance and all this, but you need a great team to execute it. Mm-hmm. And as I'm getting, I feel more wiser in business and more mature in business, it's, the team is the most important. And really, if you really want to grow a larger organization, it's your people.
And, absolutely.
And building that, building them up, building them as a, they're all different personalities, mm-hmm. and they're all different skill sets, and they're, and putting them all together and you as the leader, you know, leading them and figuring out how to, where they can create great synergy together and work together effectively to hit a much bigger mm-hmm. goal. And that's what as I'm getting older and wiser, me being that leader and organizing them and pushing them and where they need to be pushed, but also getting them to mold as a unit and to reach a much higher and bigger goal than you or I could probably even imagine, or definitely that we could accomplish on our own.
I agree 100%. And when it comes to helping people find fulfillment in their work, I mean, there's nothing more important than teamwork. You know, I feel like it gives them a sense of, you know, purpose and, you know, connecting with one another.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So tell us about the retreat. How did things go? Give me your feedback on, and then we'll get into what we did in it.
Yeah, so I mean, and every year's been different, and I mean, you know, we've done a lot of the, you know, let's get into the nitty-gritty technology, like marketing, like improving the systems, you know, and this year it was all about focusing on the team and getting to know the team on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've read the 5 dysfunctions of a team a couple times in our organization. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to bring that back into the leadership team. Mm-hmm. And get a little deeper, you know, into the 5 dysfunctions.
Yeah. I mean, it was the goal, I think, and, you know, when I put the retreat together, I thought it'd be best to get to a much deeper level with mm-hmm. the small leadership team that we have. We have 7, including you and I.
Right.
And we wanted to go get beyond the surface issues mm-hmm. and some of the issues we were having as a team, and figuring out how you could add healthy conflict and resolve some of those issues and get deeper down to the root cause, not keeping it surface.
Yeah. And let's take it back a bit, because I mean, every company goes through this, you know, and every company and organization have dysfunctions. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, you know, finding what that is and how you can improve on that.
And it's hard to do. This is probably one of the hardest retreats that I've put on or that we went through. And it was, for me personally, it was extremely exhausting.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. and at some point you go through it wondering, like, did I make the right decision in bringing this in there? You know, because, I mean, yeah, there was a ton of awkward moments and, you know, kind of not screaming at each other. But, I mean, it was, you know, there was conflict. I mean, how else to put it. But, so you question yourself as a leader, like, man, am I putting drama into my organization that my organization doesn't need?
Correct.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's stuff that needed to come out, because if we can bring those, you know, surface issues out, then we can eventually be able to trust each other.
Correct. And build on that and hopefully learn as a team together. But I mean, one of somebody that I respect very much, David Phelps, and we would love to get him on the podcast.
Yes, he would be awesome.
You say that. You know, he 2 things that he had recommended one time when I spent a small mastermind with him. One thing that 2 real big takeaways that I got from him were, one, he recommended you and I do
the improv class. That was awesome.
And that
was
a great experience. Mm-hmm. The second was he said, you know what, you need to focus on having those uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. And that's always stuck with me. And it's like,
and I remember him saying that, because I'm like, man, like, thinking about it, like, who wants to have uncomfortable conversations? Yeah. And I mean, and especially you don't like conflict at all. Our personalities are totally different. Like, mm-hmm. I can be more direct, and you don't like the conflict. Yeah. So it's uncomfortable when you're not used to that.
And I tend to avoid it. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there. I'm finding with working with our different team members and all that, there's a lot of people like me mm-hmm. that tend to avoid conflict. And for us to put ourselves in those conflict situations, you guys don't realize how draining and exhausting and how much willpower we have to expend to be able to go through this.
Oh, I know, because I live with you. Yeah. I've been with you for this long, so I know how much it drains you. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you haven't been put in that situation, it is. I mean, you go home exhausted sometimes because you're so tired of the drama. You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. And avoid it. But when I have to do it, it takes twice as much energy, I think, as some people that are more used to more conflict. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so, I mean, what we did was, like Joni mentioned, we had read the 5 dysfunctions of a team by Patrick, how do you spell it? Say his last name. Lincioni?
Lincioni.
Lincioni. Sorry, Patrick, please don't. If you're listening to this, please don't be mad. Patrick Lincioni, I hope he's listening to this. That'd be awesome. But his book is awesome. I highly recommend it. And it's really a story. It's a leadership a story of an organization that and what they went through with their leadership team. And the book was much similar to ours.
Well, yeah, I laugh at that because after reading the book, I was like, man, like we were just like that. One of the ladies in there, you know, she kind of like throws in the towel and like runs off. I'm like, well, we weren't quite like that, but pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah, luckily, nobody got thrown in the pool or the ocean or no fights took place. But the next step that we also did was we purchased the field guide that goes with the book. And this is what we use as to outline our leadership meeting and our retreat. And we went through the different exercises in this book. And so I highly recommend it. And we're going to get into a lot of it today. But that's how we structured our retreat. And I think if you guys haven't read the book, it's a phenomenal book. And it really will help your team overcome a lot of challenges. And so the book's based upon five different dysfunctions that they commonly find, or Patrick has commonly found in teams. The first one is absence of trust. So the first thing you got to do is trust one another. So that means being able to be vulnerable.
And that's a hard thing for, you know, a lot of people. I mean, it's hard for me. I'm just learning that myself, you know, but just opening up on to somebody that you don't normally open up to, it's
kind of weird. I think sometimes contradicting the old business way of doing business, you don't show vulnerabilities, you don't expose yourself, you don't show weaknesses, you don't open up about your personal life at the work environment. I think times are changing, and that's something. In order to really trust your team, you got to be able to feel comfortable sharing with them.
Exactly. And you spend majority of your time with your team, you know, than at home. So, I mean, you have to.
And at the same time, I think if you're receiving feedback from somebody or criticism, or
being able to accept that and work on that.
And listen to it, not get argumentative or defensive, but listen and say, okay, where's he coming from, or she, you know, where do I demonstrate this? Maybe ask questions.
Right. And that can be hard. Yeah. I mean, initially, like just in our leadership, you know, that came up when on a few assessments that we did, you know, like few were like, no, that's not me. You know, like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But then once they, you know, kind of processed it and thought more about it after the weekend, they're like, you know what? Like, yeah, like I need to work on that.
Right.
You know, and so that's the first step, being self-aware.
The second dysfunction is fear of conflict. So, you know, like we just mentioned, avoiding conflict, not having those difficult and uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying what's needed to be said at times. Yeah. And that's tough.
It is tough. Yeah. Yeah. Especially with the different personalities that we have. We have, you know, a lot of team members in our leadership that don't like conflict at all. So, you know, it's...
You got some that love it, or that are very, like, red, you know, personalities and very aggressive.
Right,
and
that's
very,
me.
Yeah. And so then you have those, and they come at you aggressively and hard. And
we don't mean to, but that's just, you know, in the way we sometimes say it or approach it, you know, it just, it comes out kind of fighting. So
It's tough, and you got to learn, and we'll get into how we kind of learn each other's traits. Mm-hmm. And this is all based on like a pyramid. So it starts with trust is the foundation of the pyramid and what you need to start with. And then you build fear of conflict and overcoming those conflicts. Then the next is lack of commitment. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have trust and you don't have healthy conflict to get to resolutions of issues, you don't have nothing to commit about, and and your organization's not going to get behind unless you can argue and prove like why you thought what you did or debate something. You're not going to be able to get the whole team to buy into your strategy. Mm-hmm. Then the next is avoidance of accountability. Holding the team accountable. Mm-hmm. And this is difficult as
it's something that you and I struggled, you know, growing our company since the very beginning, you know, and there was times where we were taken advantage of because, you know, we weren't holding them accountable like we should have.
And it's hard.
And then you get somebody in an organization and then you're going too far the other way where you're, you know, they come in here and
too much structure.
So finding that happy medium.
Yeah. And then attention to results. So, you know, if you have trust, you have healthy conflict, you all commit behind something, you hold each other accountable, then it gets the team to drop their own personal ambitions and maybe personal goals and focus on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And the team goals, and that's what creates teamwork.
Right.
And then you got a whole synergy, a team together focused on the team's right. goals or the company goals, and you're achieving. So it's awesome, and I don't think we're through. You know, we're gonna keep this year revisiting it. I think we had the healthy conflict, mm-hmm. and hopefully built some trust, and then we're gonna work on the commitment and accountability. We're really at the accountability stage, and then see the results
right.
this yeah. year. But so some of the steps that we took, and this is all from the field guide for overcoming the five dysfunctions of a team. The steps that we took in our leadership meeting, I think this will help. I think it'll help a lot of people out there. If you got a small little team or you got a leadership team, I think some of these steps that we took, you can use or implement. So, and we were there for 4 days,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 days. But this took about two and a half days to get through all this. But we started off with, as a team, we took a team assessment. That's what it was. From the book. So you can pay for an assessment. We sent it out to all the leaders. They took assessment before we got to Florida.
Right.
And the first thing we did was go through that team assessment, mm-hmm. and it showed, okay, out of those five things, the trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, and results.
Where were you strong and where were you weak?
Team was I guess you'd say average mm-hmm. on almost all of it. We weren't bad, but we weren't great
right.
at any one. And there was things that we could work on. So out of five, we were like a three,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was things we could build upon. There were things that we, as a group, were very, connected on. We all agreed on it. We, you know, we're like 6 out of 7 all agreed that we were this, but then there were other times where we were like, you know, two, you only got 2 out of, you know, so everybody was in a disagreement.
Right.
And we talked about those questions. Why mm-hmm. do you think that is? Why do you think there might be lack of trust here? Why are we not having healthy conflict, or, you know, who's not, you know, or what's causing that? Are we holding each other accountable? And we went through a bunch
right,
of questions.
Right, yeah, we did. And I mean, I think it really helped. And I mean, at the end, we also, you know, had a list of behaviors as well, which, you know, we can, you know, if we're not, you know, holding each other accountable, like what are some things we can do to help that?
To
right?
prove it, to, yeah. yeah. And we went through all those questions and discussed it as a team mm-hmm. and where we could improve. I mean, the second step we took was
the personality test.
Personality.
Right?
So mm-hmm. so in our organization, we use the predictive index. We're big fans of it. We as we're hiring people, we use the predictive index to assess candidates and determine their personality traits and characteristics, and then match it to make sure that they're the right fit for that role or that
right.
position or that seat.
Right. And so what we did is we went through each, you know, leader's personality traits and, you know, what was their strong points? For example, I'm a maverick. So, you know, I'm, you know, kind of driven and out there a little bit.
I think you're all bad. You're all like badass, you know, as a maverick.
I'm a bull.
Like, yeah. Maverick from Top Gun or
yeah.
something.
Anyhow, whatever. No, but then the whole point was so we're able to, you know, how we can work better with one another, mm-hmm. right?
And so each person presented on their assessment. And so we went through it and like, you know, how does this person work well? What's their tendencies? How do you work well with that particular type of person?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do they need appreciation? Do they need reinforcement? Are they aggressive and strong-willed? Are they, passive or are they outgoing?
Right.
All those different traits, and so that we could really get to know the team on a little bit deeper of a level.
Yes.
Yeah, and then it was good. And then we also took it a little step further where people shared, you know, personal stories and got to know each other better on, mm-hmm. on a personal level. Because we have two different offices, one in Albuquerque, one. And so some of the team from Albuquerque came and they've never met in person.
That was, yeah. And because we're, you know, we've been working, the team works remotely with one another along with our remote team members mm-hmm. in Mexico. And so, you know, it was a good, it was good that, some of the leaders that don't get to see each other all the time were able to spend that time together.
Correct. And bond and get to know each other. Cause I think they, had struggles within themselves with somebody that they never met. And it was just through Teams communications or emails, and then yet spending time with them, I think they get a different perspective.
Yeah,
they get
and
a
then
different perspective of that.
I agree. And then also learning their personalities are like, oh, like that's why this person doesn't, you know, this is how maybe I need to set deadlines with this
that
individual.
That was one of the ones,
right?
Like they got frustrated with that person not getting executing on the
tasks.
But
and
then that person,
it's like, give me a deadline. Like I need deadlines. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, how it's awesome that we can now, you know, we know what to work with one another on.
Correct. And then the next thing we did was we developed a code and provided clarity on what was appropriate and not appropriate for conflict and for discussions. I had never even thought of doing this, but it makes total sense. It sounds elementary, but it really matters because it's okay if we are having a debate or we are having a heated discussion. What is acceptable and what's not acceptable within this team? If we all believe that swearing and yelling and all that, so then that's what we'll do. But that wasn't ours, obviously. But I mean,
also when is appropriate, you know, should you handle it in, you know, 24 hours or, you know, a couple hours. And so having that also lined out. And so everybody's on the same page.
So, I mean, for us, raising your voice, yelling, screaming was not acceptable. Mm-hmm. We wanted to resolve everything that day,
that same day,
if it's appropriate. Much like marriage counseling, never go to bed angry. So it's like, you know, don't leave without resolving that because it just festers at night and builds and then it can build onto something else. What were some of the other things in there? You remember how to...
I don't remember, but...
Well, we need to read it again because we're not going to be very good at we're gonna break the...
Hey, we just got back.
Yeah.
Come on.
But I mean, we clarified what's acceptable and what's
right.
not, and when we handle conflict, what's walking away or avoiding people,
which is what happens often, you know, correct. You don't want to deal with it. So I'll just put it on and I'm guilty of that myself. Yeah. You know, I'll say, I'll just deal with it tomorrow because you don't want to deal with it.
Correct. And I avoid after conflict or during, I'll just avoid you. I'm just shutting
and down. So we're still working. I mean, we even caught ourselves on the Monday when we came back from the leadership, you know, it's like, man, you just got hit with a bunch of like what to do and what not to do, you know, and super awkwardness resolving conflict or trying to resolve the conflict. And then you come back Monday morning, you're like, what the heck just happened? Yeah. Like, I don't want to, you know,
I'm gonna avoid this
person. I don't want to look at this person. Like, let's just move on. And but what was cool is that in our leadership, we were able to talk about it and say, hey, you know what, guys? Like, yeah, it was awkward on Monday, but we're excited that we're finally talking about this and we're opening up and, you know, being more vulnerable with one another.
Correct. So, I mean, it's not still not easy.
No.
Yeah. And so... Because I was involved in a lot of it. I get blamed for a lot of things here and take the fall.
Well, of course.
And maybe I deserve it all. So to me, I just wanted to shut down and just avoid everybody. And that's not the acceptable.
Hey, so. And our leadership team was the first to call you out.
Correct. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So our counselor also says, yeah, I can't shut down or avoid things. So I'm good. I need to learn and work on it. But and then the next step what we did was obstacles to avoid in conflict. And so I thought this was good. You know, we kind of went through, I forgot who did this diagram, but it comes from the book. What it talks about is the different obstacles that can keep you from getting to the root of the issue. So like, and the farther out of the ring you are, those are the most common. And then as you get closer and you get down to the root of the issue. But usually people are so focused on the outer rim. That's where they stop. And
right.
They never get
and then they
to
don't
the,
get to the
So floor. Like some of those are like individual obstacles. So like, so the individual that you're having conflict with, their self-esteem, their values, their skills, their emotional intelligence, their IQ, or their experience and knowledge. So those can be conflicts or obstacles that don't get you down because they have issues with maybe they don't understand what you're talking about or they have very low emotional intelligence and they can't process that, mm-hmm. what you're saying. Relationship obstacles is the next ring, which it could be a position or status, you know, in the company.
And you do see that, you know, where it's all about power and who's got the most power, you know. Right. And
you can't tell somebody because of their position and that kind of thing.
Right.
Their style of acceptance, maybe it was a past event. Mm-hmm. So maybe you've had disagreements with this person in the past and you
can't get past that.
Yeah. And you still haven't let it go. Yeah, so when you have another conflict with them, that brings up all the past stuff and then it just and that's probably the most common.
It is. And again, every organization, you know, goes through this, yeah. but, you know, bringing those to the surface and working on those. So when these conflicts do happen, you can nip them in the butt.
Yeah. I mean, and these are just things that you guys, we're trying to just help and give it to you aware. And so, when you're having healthy conflict, you got to put the past in the past and,
right.
and move forward.
Move
especially
forward.
If you already said you were going to do that. Mm-hmm. Next were environmental obstacles. So, you know, we have some obstacles that, you know, we have a team that's remote.
COVID.
COVID, yeah.
And COVID hits and you have to adapt to your surroundings, right?
Correct. So it could be company culture, your physical location, politics.
And that can, I mean, talk about that for a second, because I mean, we had to quickly adapt to working remotely, you mm-hmm. know? And so it's not easy to build a team and a culture over Zoom, Sorry. You know? And so what are some things, you know, that companies can do to still bring that team morale up and while still working remotely?
I think it's a good question. It comes up a lot in a lot of the meetings and masterminds that we're a part of. Mm-hmm. But I would say the biggest ones are your frequencies of your meetings. So I think you need to meet on a regular schedule. So, like, you know, we do...
The huddles. I think, for example, the huddles are good. I mean, yeah. you know, that gives us, you know, the first 15 minutes, you're energized and you have the music playing and, you know, even competitions between the different departments, the happy hours. I mean, you have to really do what you can to really bring the team together, because it's not going to be the same. It's going to be a while before we can all, you know, be around together.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the opportunity or live in a market that allows that, I mean, we've done some events, whether right or wrong, or but it just, our team needed that. Our mm-hmm. team needed to get together again and you know, still practice social distancing and all those and wearing your mask and all, but still getting together and doing something fun together.
Right.
I think for now, I think it's the frequencies of your meetings, you're putting in the technology that allows you to do that. So whether it be Teams or
Slack
or Zooms, mm-hmm. yeah, you need to mm-hmm. meet more regular and meet more often. And then the last circle was informational obstacles. So facts, opinions, perspectives that keep you from getting to the root.
Yeah,
so.
And I think, and that's, especially in our organization, there's times where, you know, you have an opinion and you don't say it, mm-hmm. right? And then it's just Sean and Joni's like, but no, it's not about Sean and Joni anymore. It's about the team. Mm-hmm. And so once we can get our team past that to open up and voice their opinion, I mean, their ideas are probably better than our ideas, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always been that way, and we try to hire smarter people, you know, like me.
No, I am the first to say now. I am aware that I have smart people working for me, and that's the whole key,
yeah,
so, right?
Correct.
That's how we're able to build this.
Yeah. So move on. The next thing that we talked about was, we ranked. One of the exercises in this book, we ranked, everybody passed a sheet of paper around with their name at the top of it, and it had a little diagram on it, and we ranked where each person was, or what box they were in, or where they were on their frequency of conflict and their substantive or shallowness of their conflict. So, you know, is it justified? Is it kind of shallow frequently?
Right. So each team member can voice like how they saw you, which I love that, by the way. Like anytime anybody's given me feedback, like I take that and you know, I want to work on things that I'm weak at.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it showed for both both spectrums, that's a better way to put it. So people that had high frequency of conflict and maybe shallow conflict, it's something they can work on. Mm-hmm. That's those are usually way more noticeable because they're the ones that cause more conflict, and they're the ones that maybe it's more frequent and people would call it shallow.
Or petty.
Petty, yeah, would be another word for mm-hmm. it. And that's probably not the right words, but that's how it's looked mm-hmm. at. And then there's other people that were on the other side that don't have very little conflict at all.
But that's
and
not good either because
then they're not bringing up issues. They're right. not challenging. They're mm-hmm. not they're not voicing right. their opinion. They're not challenging people that like, no, I disagree with that, what mm-hmm. you just said, or I disagree with that. And they're the ones that need to create more conflict. So I think there's both sides. And I think ideally you'd want to be in the middle where you have, you know,
both.
Yeah. A healthy balance of both.
Exactly.
Yeah, because conflict is good. It doesn't right. have to be negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then lastly, we committed to what we need to work on and committed on working on these issues mm-hmm. as a team and resolving some of these and improving our teamwork and committing to what we were going to resolve this year and getting past some of those surface issues. So,
I mean, it's going to take time,
correct.
But we're on track with that. And highly encourage any of you guys, if you're, growing a team, whether it's small, medium size, larger, going through the 5 dysfunctions of a team with your leadership team or just your small team is crucial. I think you'll discover some things that you weren't aware of, and it'll strengthen your organization. And it's not all about structure, technology, all these in marketing, it's about building the team. That's what's important.
Yeah.
That's good. So. That's what's going to get you to the next level.
And prepared for some conflict and good luck, but it'll be well worth it.
Way
in
to
the
stay
end.
Positive, yeah. Sean.
So, I think that wraps it up, but do you have anything else?
No, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us personally. We would love to hear from some of you guys, review us.
And please follow us on Instagram. It's Joni M. Wolf.
Joni M. Wolf.
And I'm Sean the Wolf on Instagram. Please, rate us, follow us on YouTube or, any platform that you can hear the podcast on. We'd love to get you guys' feedback. Please share this with people so that it can get out and the work can get out. But otherwise, we'll see you next week and have a great week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.